Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
One of my favorite things about the Christmas season is Christmas lights. And Paul put up the Christmas lights for the program last week, and I told him, keep those up. You know, I love the look in our sanctuary. It just makes it look great. Christmas lights are one of my favorite parts of the Christmas season. We'll drive around this time of year. We'll just go out for a drive. Just to look at the Christmas lights that are up. And yeah, I know you can go to Clifton Mill, see the lights down there. When we were kids, we'd go to Ludlow Falls. Does anybody remember Ludlow Falls? Back in the day when they did that, that was incredible. We're going to go to the Columbus Zoo this week. One night this week, Stephen's home from college. Got home Friday night, and Andrew, for the past several years, hasn't got to see the lights at the zoo because he's had to work, and this year he doesn't have a job. So this week we're going to go see the lights at the zoo. They're beautiful. Anybody been to the Columbus Zoo to see the lights? A couple of you have. It's amazing. Millions of lights. Millions of lights. It's hard to describe how many lights are at the Columbus Zoo. But Christmas is the season of lights. If you think about it, Christmas is the season of lights. There is something symbolic about the time chosen to celebrate the birth of Christ. Something symbolic about the specific time that's chosen to celebrate Christ's birth. The light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And isn't it interesting that we celebrate Christmas? We celebrate the light of the world at one of the darkest times of the year. If you think about it, December 20th, December is the darkest month of the whole year. It is the darkest month. If it were not for Christmas being in December, it would be one of my least favorite months of the year. Because, you know, it's dark when I get up. It's dark at 6 o'clock when I get up, and at 6:30 when I'm driving into work, there's no hint of the sun, especially on cloudy days. It's horrible. And I'll get out of work about at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and on my drive home, it's getting dark, and by the time I get home, it's dark. It's dark when I get up and go to work. It's dark when I go home. And I think that's why I like the month of June the best. You know, we're the farthest we possibly can be from June right now. But in June, it's daylight when I get up. Like at 5:30 in the morning on June 20th, it's like daylight at 5:30 in the morning because the sun is coming up. And it's still daylight when I get home, and the sun is still shining. And sometimes the sun in June is shining until probably 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And it's awesome. So June is my favorite month of the year. I really can say that. How many people love June? Oh, yes. And a lot of it has to do with the amount of daylight that we have during that time of year. If there's any good news about the darkness of December, it is that on December 20th, the winter solstice, we know that the days after December 20th will begin to get longer. So the days ever since June, the days have been getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And now we get to December 20th, and the days will be getting longer and longer and longer in terms of light. Light is wonderful. Light is wonderful. I get things done in the daylight. I get things done in light. I'm more productive in the light. I have more energy when it's light outside. I see a lot of heads nodding going, oh boy, yes. Since we've fallen back into standard time, it gets dark around 5:15, and by 6:30 or 7 o'clock, I'm ready for bed. So yesterday afternoon, can I get an amen there, right? Amen. So yeah, so like last night is this great example. We had dinner at 6 o'clock, Saturday night, and it's getting dark outside. And I jumped upstairs after dinner, and I never do this, and there's a reason. I jumped upstairs to my bedroom, and I had forgotten my phone up there, and I was scrolling through my phone in my bedroom, and there was a Christmas song I had heard during the week, and I wanted to listen to it. And so I sat down on my bed, and I listened to it, and as I sat there on my bed, Jan, I was listening to this song, and I laid my head on the pillow, and before I knew it, it was 8 o'clock. I had fallen asleep. And Pastor Vicky told me this morning on the way down here, she's like, you were asleep. You slept after dinner. She goes, I was downstairs in the living room. I could hear you upstairs in bed snoring. And I was like, I don't snore. And she's like, yes, you do. But this time of year, it's like at 6 o'clock, you could go to sleep. Because the darkness makes us want to go to bed. The lack of light saps us of our energy. Sometimes I'm like, we need to make it brighter in this room. Because I think the lack of light in this room sometimes saps us of our energy. And we want to worship in light. We want to worship in light. Because the darkness saps us of our energy. But when we have more daylight in the warmer months, don't you just find reasons to be outside? You just want to be out in the sunlight. You're finding excuses. I mean, I started watering the flowers as an excuse just to be outside in the daylight. I think our faith fathers and our faith mothers were onto something when they decided to celebrate Christmas, the season of light, during the darkest time of their year in the Northern Hemisphere. In a way, celebrating Christmas in the darkness, think about this, celebrating Christmas in the darkness of the winter helps us better appreciate the concept of light. It would not be any fun if we had these lights out in the middle of June because it's light all the time. But the pretty lights illuminate the darkness, and the darkness actually helps us appreciate the light a little bit more. It makes us better appreciate the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we read, nevertheless, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, which is where Jesus came from, by the way. By the way of the sea along the Jordan. And this is one of those prophecy verses that just rings true for us. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned in the darkness. And in that very same prophecy passage in Isaiah chapter 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. By celebrating Christmas in the darkness of winter, we're able to literally understand a little bit better what it means to be people who are walking in darkness, who have seen a great light. This is an object lesson for us at Christmas time as we celebrate the fact that Jesus is the light. We do it in the darkness. It's an object lesson for the people of Jesus, for followers of Christ. We understand as we celebrate the light of the world in the darkness, we understand what it means to appreciate light. So this whole, the timing of Christmas, you know, it's not just because, oh, that's what, you know, there's an object lesson behind this. He is light, and we celebrate and we learn to appreciate the light in the midst of darkness. Jesus is light. We've been reading the devotional, Long Expected Jesus, over the past couple of weeks, and each week there's been a theme. In the first week, the theme was, He is coming. And we talked about how not only did he come, but he's coming again. And time is marching towards that day when Jesus will return. And he will take his church up and he will establish a new heaven and a new earth. There is a judgment day coming. He is coming again. He came once on that first Christmas, but he is coming again, folks. He's coming again. Last week, the theme was, He is Lord. And I didn't get to preach on that last week, but we had our program. But when we talk about Jesus is Lord, not only is he coming, and we should pay attention, but he is Lord because he is the authority. As Pastor Vicky was talking about, he is the Logos. He is the Word. He is the Judge. He is God. And the theme this week is He is Light. I thought it would be a good idea this morning to consider the positive attributes of light in the darkness as we reflect and as we prepare for Christmas, just a short week away, to help us appreciate the gift of light that Jesus brings to all of our hearts. First of all, light helps us see more clearly. Light helps us see more clearly. I'm drawn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter's writing to the church. He says, "But you are a chosen people." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." We've been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. Light gives us perspective. Light gives us perspective. And according to this particular verse in 1 Peter, it helps us see who we really are. The light of God helps us see who we really are when we're in Christ Jesus. We are a chosen people. You are royalty. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're a prince or a princess. You're a brother or sister in Christ. A people chosen, a people belonging to God. My vision is terrible. I wore my glasses this morning as an object lesson. Because without my glasses on, I can barely tell who you are. I can only tell who you are by where you sit every Sunday when I take these glasses off. My vision is horrible. My vision is horrible, so I have to put these glasses on, and my world is transformed when I put my glasses on. How many of you wear glasses? Object lesson right here. If you got your glasses on, take them off real quick. Things are fuzzy, right? Things are fuzzy, and you put those glasses back on. And wow, the whole world changes, doesn't it? The whole world changes. I have terrible vision. I wear glasses and I wear contact lenses every waking hour of the day for me to be able to function. If I didn't wear them, I'd be a hot mess. I just wouldn't be able to get anything done. I've had one or two times where I've been at work and I've had one of my contact lenses blow out. You ever had anybody have a contact lens blow out? Kim Grandinette has. Or you'll like be itching your eye or something like that, and you'll rip a contact lens and you have to take it out. And I don't have my glasses at work because I wear my contact lenses. And I found myself thinking, oh boy, I don't have another contact lens. I don't have my glasses. I'm going to drive home like this. The one-eyed bandit. Driving home. Danger to myself and others. When I wear my glasses or my contacts, I'm much more safe. But if I'm not wearing them, if I only have one lens on one eye, I can be a real danger. When I wear my glasses or my contact lenses, it changes my world. It changes the world. I can see things clearly. I can comprehend my surroundings so much better. My glasses help me see things for how they really are. Now, one of the things I like to do is look at myself in the mirror with my glasses. I look a lot better without the glasses on. And then I put these on and I can see how I really appear, how you see me, right? I can recognize people, I can recognize things much better when I have the perspective that is provided by my glasses or my contact lenses. And when we enter into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, His light provides the exact same type of perspective for us spiritually as our glasses or our contact lenses do for us. Because you see, when we're living in sin, our vision of reality is skewed. It's blurred. We can't see things the way they really are because our life has been blurred. Our vision, our spiritual vision, has been blurred by sin. When we first enter into the light, you ever been in the dark for an extended period of time, and then somebody turns on the lights, and you're like, what do? You know, you're like, oh my gosh, turn the lights off. When we first enter into this relationship with Christ, a lot of the time, when we enter into the light, And we see this with friends and neighbors who we're having spiritual conversations with. We'll kind of shine the light in our conversation, and what will they do? They'll recoil from it. I don't want to talk about that. You know, they'll find ways to avoid it because the light is bright. And the light, when you've been in the darkness for so long, it hurts your eyes, doesn't it, Ron? The light shining in your, it makes you recoil. It makes you squint. It makes us kind of retreat a little bit. But the more we live in the light and the more we engage in the light, the more we are able to comprehend the reality around us, and we are able to comprehend our true state and our true need. So my message of encouragement for you today is, when you have those spiritual conversations with people and they kind of recoil when you're talking about the light, don't despair. Be patient. Let them get used to the conversation over time, because over time they'll get used to the light that you're sharing with them. And at some point in time, they're going to be able to more easily comprehend the reality of their need and their spiritual state. They won't recoil as much. So we got to make sure that as we're witnessing to people, as we're sharing the love of Jesus Christ, we got to make sure we're not shining a flashlight in their eyes. Because sometimes that's what we like to do, because we think it's an argument that needs to be won. Instead, what we need to do is gradually introduce them to the light so the light can do its work and allow them to see and comprehend the reality of the situation that they're truly in and of their need. That's part of getting used to the light. The light allows us to see who we really are. It helps us to realize our full potential in Christ. He's calling us out of darkness. He's calling us out of darkness. He's calling us to live with a focus on who we are and who we can become when we live a life committed to Him. So light, the light this morning helps us see more clearly. Second of all, light, pretty simple. Light is life-giving. Light is life-giving. Science tells us, and I am a believer in science, just so you know. I think that science and faith are two sides of the same coin. And they can coexist. There's some people that struggle with that, but I'm a firm believer that the Bible very much lines up with the scientific method that kind of reveals what's all going on in this world. Science tells us that without life, there's no life. Without light, there's no life. There can't be life in dark places. There can't be life where there is no light. Even though it's cold outside right now, the sun is providing just enough light and warmth so that life can exist on this great big ball we call the planet Earth. There's just enough light and warmth, even though it's cold outside. Without the sun, it'd get a lot colder, a lot fast. And guess what? None of us would be able to be here. Light is life-giving. Without the light, without the warmth of the sun, we'd all perish in darkness and cold. And I don't think it's a random thing that in the creation story in Genesis, the first recorded words of God, very first quote of God in the Bible is, "Let there be light." Yes, let there be light. First words of God recorded in Scripture. It's not a coincidence. Light is essential for life. Spiritually speaking, when we live without the light of Christ in our hearts, we're the walking dead. When we're living without the light of Christ in our hearts, we are the walking dead. Without the light of Christ burning bright and fresh in our hearts, there's no possibility for spiritual life. We can fake it. You know, we can fake it. We can put on false pretenses and make people think we've got the light. We can look the part. We can look the part. We can play the part. Well, I do all these churchy things, so obviously they must have the light of Jesus in their heart if you do all those things. We can fake it. We can look the part. We can play the part. But deep inside, it is possible to be living without the light of Christ burning in our hearts.
Amen.
And when we do that, when we are faking it, when we're pretending, we may think other people We may make other people think that we have the light of Christ in our hearts, but in reality, we're empty, we're hollow, we're cold and dark inside, lacking meaning. We could be spiritually dead. And my big fear is that in the church, we confuse having the light of Jesus in our heart with all the different things we do at church. And we need to make sure that that light is real and that that light is lit and that that light is giving light to us spiritually. And there is no shame for a person aspiring to be a disciple of Christ. There is no shame to acknowledge that you need to have that light relit some of the time. There's no shame in that. The enemy would make you think, oh, that is the worst thing in the world. You're a backslider, blah, 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 blah. And he will confuse and deceive us into thinking that we're not worthy because we don't have that light lit. Every once in a while, guess what? The winds of this world will come along and they'll go. They'll blow that light out. Turmoil will come. Unexpected things will come about. And then all of a sudden, the light in our heart gets snuffed out because things can happen. But as disciples of Christ, there's no shame in acknowledging that we need our hearts relit. There's no shame in that. I don't want you to feel shame in that. If anything, I want you to feel driven to have that need for that light to be relit in our hearts. You know what happens when we're driven? That means we've got the life of Christ in our lives. We've got a hunger to let that light shine. And before you all go crazy, it's as simple as exposing yourself once again to the light to allow the light in our heart to be relit. Pretty simple object lesson this morning. Sometimes circumstances will come and they might snuff that light out. Jesus is patient. His love endures forever. He wants to relight that light in your heart this morning. Light gives light. Light gives life. Thirdly, light is cleansing. Light is cleansing. Several years ago, I remember I got this hat from one of my colleagues when I worked at the State Attorney General's office. The State Attorney General's office actually runs the State Crime Bureau over in London. So that's under the kind of the organization. And one of my buddies was the head of the State Crime Bureau. And he gave me this black hat, BCI, Bureau of Criminal Investigation. I was a member of that organization. He said, here, take this hat. He goes, if you take this hat and you put it in the back dash of your automobile, that'll ward off the speeding tickets. I'm not sure if that worked or not. But what I thought was interesting was over time, I had that black hat in the back of my Pontiac Grand Prix. And over time, I parked my car outside every day. And over time, that black hat changed from black to almost white because the sunlight had bleached it out. The sunlight had bleached out the black dye out of that hat. And in the same way, the light of Christ shining in our hearts cleanses the darkness of sin out of our souls. But we've got to expose ourselves consistently to the light. If I would have taken that hat out of the light every day, it would have stayed black. Yeah. But since I kept it on the back dash of my car over years, like it was several years, it went from black to almost entirely white. It was bleached out by the light. If we bear our souls to God, the light of Christ, the light of Christmas can cleanse us and transform us. But we have to expose ourselves to the light of Christ. Light cleanses us. Light gives light. Light gives life. Light helps us see clearly. And finally this morning, light brings hope in darkness. Light brings hope in dark places. There's something about light that is hopeful. when we find ourselves in dark places in life, light helps. Light helps. Larry Johnson was sharing this morning about how he had been to one of these caverns, one of these caves, and you go on the tour, and you're standing in the cave, and they turn out the light, and it's dark, and you can't see your hand in front of your face because it's so dark. And she shared the reality that had they not turned the lights back on, he wouldn't know his way out of that place because he was in a strange and an unfamiliar place. The light lights the way out of dark places. It helps. It brings hope. A few weeks ago, I told you we were on vacation up at Mohican and the electricity went out in our cabin. It was dark. It was dark. It's one thing for the electricity to go out when you're at home, right? Because when you're at home, you know how to, how many of you can walk around your house in the dark without stubbing your toe? Most of us. Most of us. So you can work your way in familiar surroundings when it's dark at your home. But when you're at somebody else's place and it's dark, that creates quite a bit of uncertainty. It creates quite a bit of tension. The dark can be disconcerting. The dark in unfamiliar places can cause us to worry. The dark causes tension. Regular noises in the light become scary bumps when the light goes out. You're like, what was that? What's going on? And as soon as the electricity was restored that night when we were at that cabin up at Mohican, the lights came back on. And all that tension, all that worry, all those concerns I had, they melted away. Because the light came on and made things better. I appreciated the light that night in a way that I hadn't appreciated light for a good long time, because I didn't know how long the light was going to be out. I didn't know how long it was going to be dark, and that caused a lot of tension in my life. But when the light came, the light brought hope. The light restored hope and made the tension and the worry go away in my life. Christmas is the season of light. Christmas is the season of light. Christmas is the season of hope. And my question for us this morning is, the light of Christ shining brightly in our hearts today? Is the light of Christ, as we move into celebrating Christmas, you know, it's a shame if we go into Christmas, it's hard to celebrate Christmas if the light of Christ is not burning brightly in our hearts.
Amen.
And this morning, I want to reiterate what I said earlier. There is no shame for a follower of Christ if you need that light relit this morning. There's no shame. I don't want you to feel any shame in that. What I want you to feel is God pulling you near to Him. He is dying to light that fire in your heart. Jesus died to light that fire in your heart. And so the question for us this morning, on this Sunday that we celebrate Christmas as the season of light, Jesus is light. Is the light, can you honestly in your heart say that the light of Christ is shining brightly in your heart this morning? Can you honestly say the light of Jesus is shining in your heart? Or has it been dimmed? This has been a hard year for a lot of our people. And I don't want you to feel any shame in the fact that maybe the winds of adversity have maybe snuffed that light out a little bit. But guess what? Jesus is right there. And it was kind of funny this morning. I didn't plan this. It wasn't a practical joke, Randy. But Randy, the lighter ran out of lights. It wouldn't light more. The light of God never goes out. This lighter will run out of fuel to be able to ignite a fire. The light of Jesus will never, never expire.
Amen.
And all, you know, so if His light will never expire, the only reason that the light may not be fully burning in our lives is because we have made a choice to not get near to Jesus, to not get near to God, so the fire in our hearts can be ignited fresh and anew once again. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. He's calling us this morning. He's saying, draw near to me. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Amen. He's calling us out of darkness, and He's calling us into wondrous light this morning. Is the light of Christ burning brightly in our heart? If it's not, that's okay. There's opportunity to have it relit today. There's opportunity to have it relit. Does it need to be relit? Does it need to be lit for the first time? There's opportunity. Christ wants to warm our hearts this holiday season. He wants to provide His light so we can gain perspective. He wants to provide His light so He can give us life. He wants to provide light. He wants to light the light in our hearts so He can provide cleansing and turn our heart of sin into a heart of righteousness. He wants to break in and invade our space and bring hope where maybe we're experiencing some despair right now. But you know what? He's not going to force Himself on you. He gives us the choice to engage. He places the balls in your court this morning. How you respond to the word that's been presented to you this morning, the ball is in your court. And you can engage and expose yourself to the light and surrender to Him this morning and be relit afresh and anew. You could be ambivalent and say, "Pastor, I got stuff to do. I got to get out of here." And you could move on and fake it till you make it. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. Or we can reject it. I don't want any of us to be in that category this morning. He is the light. He is here this morning. He wants to relight the fire in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.